darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, but never duplicated. Y'all know what it is. It's the real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. We are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And I just want to remind you to make that transition with intentionality, understanding the primacy and the significance that God places on the family. We will never, hear me well, we will never out-politic, out-vote, out-church deficiencies that abound in the home. The greatest and most enduring need, the more I travel, the more time the Lord affords me on his planet, the more I am convinced that there is only one way forward for the United States of America, and that is repentance and disciple making. As much and as important as it is, and I am grateful to God for what's happening through, you know, Doge efforts and things of that nature, but I'm just want to tell you, we can uncover all the waste, fraud, and abuse that we want from financial tax dollars, but if we don't confront the waste, fraud, and abuse that is the product of our sinful predilections, doesn't matter how much money we secure. And again, I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying that to indicate that uncovering the waste, fraud, and abuse is irrelevant or unnecessary. No, praise God for that. We need that desperately. We need that desperately. But I am telling you, and I know this to be true first and foremost because of God's word. God's word is true. The corruption that abounds in our governmental apparatus, it's a reflection and a downstream flow from the corruption that is abundant in our country. I'm just, you know, equal opportunity truth teller. And I'm going to continue telling the truth about this because a particular, a robust economy, sound tax policy, those things, the greatest military fighting force in the world, those things are fantastic to have. But those things don't make a nation great. Not in and of themselves. Not in and of themselves. And in many ways, many people in our nation are looking to government to do things, frankly, because the church has lost its voice in many instances. And I don't mean that to overly broad with that, to paint with a broad brush. But it is true. It is true. So as you're making your transition right now, most of you, if not many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs at this very moment to your full-time jobs, outcome cultivation is the order of the day. We must be about our Father's business. But the Lord doesn't want us cultivating outcomes as if they are compartmentalized and distinct from who we are. The Lord's desire is for us to thrive in personal relationship with him. And the things that we do, the externalization of the ministry that we're involved in, should be the overflow of what we enjoy with him personally. That is the chief order of the day. So as you are making your transition, it should be striking to us that when the Apostle Peter articulates the seminal apologetics verse, simply because the word give a defense or give a reason, comes from the Greek word apologia. Before you ever get to making a defense or giving a reason for what you believe, the Apostle Peter says, sanctify Christ in your heart as Lord. Sanctify him in your heart as Lord. You know personally, taste and see personally that he is good. Yield yourself not merely to embrace fire insurance in terms of eternal salvation, but submit to his lordship and bask in the bounty of what is available to us in the form of true riches, which is vibrant intimacy, relationship with the true and living King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To the Word of God we go. The book of Hosea is where we're going to go today. The book of Hosea, chapter 4. I'm going to focus on verses 6 and 7. But I'm going to read before that. But you can just put 6 and 7 up on the screen. The prophet Hosea, this is another one of those people who scholars often describe as minor prophets. Again, the reference or the description minor does not communicate significance. It's just articulating that this is a shorter book. This is a shorter book. But Hosea ministered in the mid-700s B.C., shortly before the conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel. Hosea mentions at the beginning of his book that he prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, but also during the reigns of Jeroboam II and Joash, kings of Israel. There's so much that can be said about Hosea. This is the prophet who had the marriage that was indicative of Yahweh's relationship with Israel. Because Gomer was Hosea's wife. It began in fidelity. You read the text, it begins with his wife bearing him a son. And then later it says she, the wife, bore sons of her own, indicating that they were not Hosea's sons. Communicating similar to what Israel experienced, both in the northern kingdom and in Judah, ultimately. And Hosea even pled with Judah, please don't repeat what Israel, the northern kingdom, is doing. But in chapter 4, the chapter begins in verse 1. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. This is Yahweh offering his indictment almost as an attorney in court. The Lord has a case against the inhabitants in the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Think about this. This is what Yahweh is saying about his people in the land that he gave them. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is swearing, there is lying, or there is deception, there is murder, there is stealing and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, as a result of all of this, verse 3, therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. Or some translations there say, because with you is my contention, O priests. Verse 5, so you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. I will destroy your mother. My people, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they multiplied or increased, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. How often have you heard people refer to verse 6, the first half in particular, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But they ripped that verse, kicking and screaming from its context, and paint a picture as if mankind can be saved. Mankind's hope should be placed on a humanistic fulcrum of acquiring information. They use that verse to say, oh, the only problem is, the only deficiency that you have is that you simply need to learn more. But when you strip that verse from its context, which you remove from what is rightfully conveyed by God in this text, is that the Lord was indicting his people because one of the tasks of the priests was to teach the people God's word and God's ways. And so the lack of knowledge that is cataclysmically destructive that Hosea is pointing out is a specified lack of knowledge. It is a lack of knowledge of God. It is a biblical illiteracy. It is a biblical ignorance. It is a God, is an ignorance of God and his ways that has resulted in the people that should be, stop me if you heard this before, a peculiar people. That peculiarity, as articulated in Exodus chapter 19 and reiterated by Peter in his epistles, that peculiarity was typified by God's people's obedience to him. But instead of that being the defining characteristic of his people, they have become a people who are wholly ignorant of him, wholly ignorant of his ways. And as a result, they are overrun, as it says in verse 2, by swearing and deception and lying and murder and theft and adultery. And it is the lack of knowledge of God that is the mechanism for the destruction. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The consequences of this are indicated in verse 7. Though the people are ignorant of God, ignorant of his ways, ignorant of his statutes, ignorant of what he's requiring of them, they nevertheless are multiplying. And look at what God observes of them. The more they multiplied, or the more they increased, the more sin increased. The more they sinned against me. Guys, I know I may sound like a reed blowing in the wind. But I am compelled by God to tell the truth. And if we fix our sights on the wrong loci, on the wrong location, we will inevitably miss what God is attempting to direct our attention toward. A thriving economy won't make our nation great. It won't. I'm grateful that we have a Secretary of Defense who can do PT with the troops. That alone won't make our nation great. If we persist to be a nation that is characterized by Hosea chapter 4, verse 2, there is lying and deception and murder and stealing and adultery. Guys, that is not a formula for a great nation. I'm gonna play later. Because you have these two competing notions. You have Elon Musk doing what he's doing on Doge, yet we have continuing resolutions coming from Congress that seems to continue the funding for USAID. Somebody make that make sense for me. And I have audio for you. I'm going to play later on the show today of Representative Tim Burchett from Tennessee saying, you know what? People are going to howl about what Doge is doing as they really get into it, because right now they're just scratching the surface. But when you start to dig into the depths, you're going to have people protesting on both sides of the aisles. You know why? Because they have their friends and their girlfriends and their side chicks and their others. They are on the boards of these, you know, these NGOs and these various organizations, and they're getting money under the table. And when you start digging into all of that, you're going to see more people protesting. Guys, that's when the rub really gets real. We cannot be a great nation, and simultaneously we are a nation that is overrun by pornography consumption. We cannot be a great nation, and simultaneously we have people with murderous penchants, and we euphemize those murderous penchants to say this is a constitutional right, my body, my choice. We cannot be. And I know to some I may sound like a curmudgeon on the fence. I'll say, get off my lawn. And I know that's how it might sound, but I'm going to tell the truth. The lack of knowledge that Hosea is pointing out is that a people that should be the people of God, being wholly ignorant of him and his ways, and their lives reflect that in the way that they live. When I went to South Africa years ago, the only time actually I've been in South Africa, a Christian brother there said something to me I'll never forget. He said, the number one export that the United States of America has is its culture. What are we exporting around the world? I pray that the Lord would sweep our nation with repentance, because that is our great and most enduring need. And as he overwhelms us with repentance, may we obey him to make disciples.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Proverbs 24, verse 12 tells us, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Well, looks like Tulsi Gabbard was right. What am I talking about? In her confirmation hearing for her position as the director of the National Intelligence Department, she warned by saying that I'm no friend of Assad, but why are we cozying up to straight up jihadists in Syria? And if we continue along this trajectory, we're going to see with jihadists in control in Syria, we're going to see what jihadists do. Listen to and watch clip four. This is a clip snagged from Tulsi Gabbard's confirmation hearing where she warned against what we're seeing play out, starting with a massive slaughter of now over 1,300. And I'm being conservative in that communication. I've seen reports where it's upwards of 4,000, but I'm trying to report what I can confirm, where it's exceeded at least 1,300 people since Thursday last week that have been murdered in Syria. Listen to and watch. Clip number four. Clip four. Go.
I shed no tears for the fall of the Assad regime, but today we have an Islamist extremist who is now in charge of Syria, as I said, who danced on the streets to celebrate the 9/11 attack, who ruled over Idlib with an Islamist extremist governance, and who has already begun to persecute and kill and arrest religious minorities like Christians in Syria.
I understand.
Why that should be acceptable to anyone is beyond me.
It shouldn't
be. It is certainly
not
in our interest.
And I understand, but I appreciate it.
You're being proven right. I would remind you that Jake Sullivan said to "She or Shall Never Be President," quote, "Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria," end quote. Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. Do I need to recount the numbers of jihadists that got American education through USAID? Do I need to recount the reports now with Bashar Assad's being deposed in Syria, and you have a literal jihadist. I have his name here, Al-Shahar, Ahmed Al-Shahar, who's head of the HTS, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham terrorist organization running Syria, that they're murdering what they're calling religious minorities, and a lot of it is a repeat of the intra-Islamic squabble, because the minority in Syria are the Alawites, which Bashar Assad and his family were Alawites. All right, this is one of the reasons why Assad protected religious minorities, because they included his family. All right. The Alawites are a sect of Shiite Muslims, and they also are slaughtering Christians. Al-Shahar, presenting his genocidal intentions by saying that we're seeking, sympathizers with the Assad regime throughout the nation, when they really are committing genocide against Alawites for sure, but also Christians. They are intentionally conducting seek and destroy missions, according to the report. This, on top of what I reported to you that happened recently, about 2 weeks ago now, maybe 3 weeks, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where 70 Christians were beheaded. They were intentionally hunted down in the village and brought before the Protestant church in town and beheaded intentionally. It is sickening to learn, because, guys, this is the ugly truth. This is the ugly truth. The United States government, under, frankly, Democrats, armed and trained a lot of these folks. Remember Barack Obama? ISIS is the JV team. Remember that? And the group that conducted the beheadings in Congo called themselves ISIS, DRC, ISIS, Democratic Republic of Congo. I have a clip for you of a man who's talking about what's happening. And this is a snippet of a longer clip, but it's being translated into English. So there's some things that are not translated as well, but he's pleading because in a matter of hours, guys, this is from since Thursday last week, guys. It was the persecution that had already been happening, but the outright slaughter, the murders of thousands of people happened since Thursday. I told you, conservatively, upwards of 1,300 people. I've read reports that exceeds 4,000 people and counting. Today is Monday. I'm talking about since Thursday last week that this is happening. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip two. Go.
Covering my face now because I don't want anyone to see my face, because if they see me, they will kill me. I'm from Syria. I live now in the city of Latakia. Please, please, please. The media is not showing you anything. The terrorists are killing everyone. Children, women, teenagers, old people. Just killing. There is more than 100 body in my... There is more than 100 body in my village. Now, even in the city, they are just taking the children and the women and kill them. I don't know what to do with my mom and my two sisters. Please, you gotta help us. Nobody is talking anything about it. Not the social media or the TV channels. They are all hiding the truth. They are saying that they are killing the resistance, but this is end up 2 days ago. Please, you gotta help us. They have been killing people since 2 days until now. Hundred and hundred and hundred of bodies are thrown in the street, in the villages, and in the city of Syria. We are not allowed to go out of the house. They just come to the houses, take the people, kill them outside of the house, and take all the phones so nobody record or do anything. Please, you gotta help us. I have two sisters. I don't know what to do with them. If it's okay for me if I die, but not for my two sisters or my mom.
I want to reiterate the number that I'm pointing out to you guys is conservative. You know, I've seen numbers of exceeding 4,000. And what I endeavor to do is cross-reference from multiple sources before I report here on the air. But I've seen some that even eclipse that 4,000 number as well. As you might imagine, it's hard to get accurate data when you have this large quantity of people being murdered in such a short amount of time. You know, you don't. One of the things that continues to resonate is that, man, I'm a member of the body of Christ. That includes the universal body of Christ. So you see this happening, and you find that you have historic efforts by our own country that has aided to some degree. And I'm not saying all the same. The Obamas and the Clintons were far, far worse than some, but you have the O'Biden administration that carried on some of those same shenanigans. You know, like I said, Biden administration official Jake Sullivan, Al Qaeda is on our side in Syria. You literally have the dude head of HTS in Syria literally danced on 9/11. Literally danced in the street. and you have this going on. And it's amazing how you have the liars in our media. And I know that sounds strong, but frankly, that's what they are, guys. The liars in our media, the talking snake media, who try to paint President Trump as a Hitler, who's literally trying to bring peace in the world, not trying to conduct foreign wars, trying to eliminate foreign wars. But our media is painting him, attempts to paint him in that light. Because we do have an American Pravda. We really, really, really do. As the Lord moves you, and I'm asking you to join with me in praying for the body of Christ internationally. For those who have been murdered, you know, by God's grace, their faith has become sight. But they have families and they have loved ones. And I can imagine the terror that many who are surviving might have at this moment. I mean, they're fleeing their homes where the Alawite population used to be about the same as the Christian population in Syria. But the Christian population is almost completely eradicated, 2% or less than the population in Syria. And again, when we say Syria, I want to make this plain. Damascus, the road that the Apostle Paul was headed to when Messiah confronted him and ultimately the Apostle Paul was converted, he was en route to Damascus, which is in Syria, guys. The largest, earliest, first iteration, if you will, of a large church, largely compiled of Gentiles, was in Syria. This is where Acts 13 records the Apostle Paul was separated, he and Barnabas, for the work that God called him to. This was in Syria, guys. And if you remember the body of Christ, man, these people are members of our eternal family. And it's grieving to me and it's sickening to me to learn things that our own nation, our own government has done in the past that has contributed to this kind of stuff happening. So I'm asking you to please join me in praying for the body of Christ globally, man. That those specifically are in areas of intense, overt physical persecution, that their faith wouldn't fail. That their faith wouldn't fail, that they are able to stand firm in the face of the hostility and the persecution. And that they would not shrink back, but as much as is possible and as God would empower them by his sovereign grace, that they would be effective in executing his commission, even where he's planted them. That they would be a witness. I saw a profound boldness of some Christians in Syria who are willing to openly walk down the street in some cities with crosses. You want to talk about courage? You know, it's not courage sitting on somebody's Twitter machine typing out 180 characters. You know, in the heat of all of that persecution, willing to still stand boldly for Christ, man, that's real courage. That's real courage. And these things are happening now. And I would pray for the believers in our nation, man, that we would be like the sons of Issachar, that we would understand the times that we were in, that we would not be seduced into a passivity and a negligence, further seduced, I would say. Because largely we have been seduced into a negligence and a passivity that allows us to kind of, you know, treat Christ following as if it's a hobby that we pursue on weekends. As when we go and, you know, when we summer in Venice and we'll Christian from time to time. You know, but to have a sobriety and an urgency about us that is appropriate for having been revolutionized and transformed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May it be so, Lord. State of Missouri, seems like they've gone two for two for sure in the last instances of attorney generals. So even more now, you think about Josh Hawley, he's done a pretty good job for the most part as a U.S. senator. You had former Missouri Attorney General Andrew Schmidt, who is now a U.S. senator from Missouri, and you have now Attorney General Andrew Bailey, former AG Smith, now U.S. Senator Smith, started the process of suing China for the origins of the Wuhan flu. And Attorney General Bailey of the state of Missouri continued that litigation, and he just won an award of $24 billion against Communist China concerning their role in the Wuhan flu. Listen to and watch clip number one. Clip number one, go.
The federal judge in Cape Girardeau rules in favor of Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's federal lawsuit against China related to the COVID pandemic. Bailey calls the $24 billion judgment against the Chinese Communist Party historic. The state sued China nearly 5 years ago. The one remaining count in the suit accused China of hoarding masks and other PPE. Judge Stephen Limbaugh ruled Missouri suffered direct harm from lost tax revenue and heightened expenditures caused by the hoarding. Bailey says the judgment is six times more than the previous largest judgment in state history.
Guys, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. If you're watching the show, I'm holding the judgment in my hand. It is signed by Judge Stephen Limbaugh, Senior United States District Court Judge for the Eastern District of Missouri. The named defendants are the People's Republic of China, the Communist Party of China, National Health Commission of the People's Republic of China, Ministry of Emergency Management of the People's Republic of China, Ministry of Civil Affairs of the People's Republic of China, the People's Government of Hubei Province, the People's Government of Wuhan City, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the Chinese Academy of Sciences. A $24 billion Attorney General Bailey issued a press release in which he says, quote, "We've secured a historic $24 billion judgment against the Chinese Communist Party for unleashing the COVID-19 pandemic six times more than the previous largest judgment in Missouri's history." Here's the key component of his press release, quote, "Missouri will now move to collect the $24 billion judgment and, if necessary, will work with the Trump administration to identify and seize Chinese-owned assets, a critical step in protecting Missouri's economy and national security. We intend to collect every penny by seizing Chinese-owned assets, including Missouri farmland. My hope is that other states will see what A.G. Bailey has done in today, not tomorrow, today, draft their petitions and tomorrow morning file identical suits for the impact that their states have endured."
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm primarily sharing this with you, what the state of Missouri has done, so that you can notify your state attorney general to say, hey, have you seen what Missouri has done? And Jeff, would you put a link to the judgment into the show notes so you can actually send your attorney general the actual judgment and say, hey, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Look at the judgment. Look at the articulation of the petition. Look at the potential damages that the citizens of your state have suffered and follow suit. And I'm not saying everything will be a walk in the park. One of the major things, and the monetary amount is one thing, but one of the major things that I'm interested in seeing happen is states, how shall I say this, liberate China from their landhold possessions that particularly are outside of our military installations, how they just conveniently decided, yeah, you know, I'd like some farmland. And just so happens to always end up somewhat close to U.S. military bases. You know, a lot of this, guys, frankly, it comes down to will. Do you have the political will to do it? Here you have Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who he's like, listen, we're doing this. And thankfully, he was able to build on the legacy already pioneered by Eric Schmidt. But other states can immediately follow suit. Immediately. And this is a tool that's in the toolbox that's available. All right. I'm going to move on to something. And I've been having this audio in the wild for a while, but I wanted to process it, think through it. Other things that I wanted to navigate before I brought this to the fore. But shortly, actually, the day after President Trump's address before a joint session of Congress last week, Representative Tim Burchett from Tennessee, he's a Republican, he had a meeting the very next day. So the joint address to Congress took place the very next day. He was a part, Representative Burchett, that is, was a part of a meeting with Elon Musk and Doge, in which Doge reported on a lot of the things that they had uncovered. And Tim Burchett just was candid with reporters in this exchange, this gaggle, if you will. And he said something that it's striking, but we know it's true. We know it's true. Even if you don't know all of the details, you know these things, let me say it this way, are more likely than not. How about that? How about that? Listen to Congressman Burchett when he is asked about Doge, but then one of the reporters asked him, do you expect to see some Congress members begin to protest against what Doge is doing? And I want you to listen to his response. Listen to and watch clip number three. Clip number three. Go.
We wanted to ask you about Elon Musk's message in there. What did he talk to you guys about? What was sort of the main message?
Well, we talked about specifics and areas that I don't want to discuss the specific parts of it, but it's very encouraging of the things that he's disclosing and where he's headed with this, because they haven't even really cracked the nut. You've got education in the Pentagon that are out there, and
you know what time this thing started?
Is there any sort of conversation or pushback, you know, from folks who are...
Oh, yeah, they're going to push back, because you've got congressmen on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And if they follow that paper trail, it's going to come back to them. You got their wife and or girlfriend that works for some agency, quasi-agency or some business. And I'll get primary for saying that, but that's the truth, and we all know it. And this town's crooked as a dog's leg. Somebody's going to straighten it out. Looks like it's going to be Elon Musk.
Did y'all hear that? So first, Congressman Burchett says, well, you know, we haven't even, he said, cracked the nut or scratched the surface. What he's saying with Doge, he said, because the Pentagon, remember the same Pentagon that hasn't passed an audit in how long? how long? Yeah. And you haven't even gotten to the depths of the things that are going on with education and various things where it's been over $1 trillion that's been... Over $1 trillion of our tax money that's going to the education department, but we have babies that can't read. Remember the story I covered last week of Alicia Ortiz? He can't even hardly spell her own name and admits she can't read. Just graduated, but so where's all this money going? And that's right. Elon Musk said if he truly shows where the depths of all the money trail leads, he said he'll probably end up dead. Then Congressman Burchett, and I might play it again just so everybody can hear it. When he asked, do you ultimately expect Congress members to fight against Doge? And he said, yes, they're going to push back. Quote, they're going to push back because you have congressmen on both sides of the aisle. If they follow that paper trail, it's going to come back to them. You've got their wife and or girlfriend that works for some agency, quasi agency or some business. This town is as crooked as a dog's leg. This is why, and I know we have some good people in Washington, D.C., but it's increasingly obvious that they are a winnowing minority. Because we cannot have, on one hand, we're going to Doge, and then on the other hand, let me say it better. On one hand, we're going to Doge that reveals what USAID is doing. Then on the other hand, we're going to fund USAID. Somebody make that make sense to me. We have lots of, for example, What's her name from Georgia? Stacey Abrams. She creates a nonprofit organization that literally had not raised but $100 since its existence. Literally, literally. But the Biden administration somehow gives $2 billion to her. $2 billion. And the not-so-secret secret is that you had a guy who was a Clinton loyalist, an Obama loyalist, a Biden loyalist, who ended up begin nestling his way into Stacey Abrams' organization. And she admitted, we used a lot of money, really. We were trying to buy votes. She didn't say it that way. Obama gave out phones. They were giving out appliances. And of course, you know, it's even a couple bucks on the side for her and her friends, of course. How do you, $2 billion, you haven't raised but $100, and then you get a $2 billion grant from the federal government under USAID. Or the opposite, and I reported on this, Senator Tom Cotton's group. The International Republican Institute, that similar, and I said on this show, I didn't know there was an International Republican Institute that was a who's who of Republican elected officials. And it just got over $130 million of American tax dollars just last year in 2024. The board members for Tom Cotton's group, Senator Dan Sullivan, Lindsey Graham, Joni Ernst, Mittens Romney. And so the more you dig, you're going to find that there's a lot to be found. And Senator Burchett, I'm sorry, Representative Burchett is saying, yeah, no, I'm encouraging Elon Musk to go quickly. Go as fast and as quickly as you can, because he said these folks in D.C., they're going to get squeamish. And you're going to find, in short order, they're going to no longer have the appetite for Doge to Doge. And you have some that's on both sides of the aisle that, as he said, their wife and their girlfriends, and or girlfriends is what he said. They work for some agency, a quasi-agency. And this town is crooked as a dog's leg. All of this stuff has to be exposed, man. I'm like here's another example. Let me pull this out. All right, I'm grateful for this. And I mentioned Tulsi Gabbard being proven right. So Tulsi Gabbard announces today, quote, "At the president's directive, I have revoked security clearances and barred access to classified information for Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan," you know, the same Jake Sullivan that told she or should never be president, that Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria, by the way. She's revoked security clearances and access to classified information for Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Lisa Monaco, Mark Zaid, Norman Eisen, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, and I know some of you are saying, wait, Letitia James, isn't she just the Attorney General for New York? And Alvin Bragg is just a district attorney for Manhattan. What are they doing having that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because the evidence shows that they were conferring with the Federal Department of Justice, just like I said they were, when the DOJ's number three all of a sudden resigned to take a position in a Manhattan district attorney's office. That doesn't happen anywhere. That doesn't happen anywhere. That you're going to leave the Department of Justice to take a position with respect to district attorneys and assistant district attorneys, but I think everybody knows that state-level prosecutors have a lot less, shall I say, cachet than federal DOJ prosecutors, especially if you're like number two or three in the Federal Department of Justice. So, yes, they were conferring, having access to classified information, and what they pursued. And Andrew Weissman, you know him, longtime Clinton sycophant, along with the 51 signers of the Hunter Biden disinformation letter, the president's daily brief is no longer being provided to former President Biden, end quote. That's what Tulsi Gabbard shared. But I'm sorry. Unless these, you know, 51 intelligence agency letter signers, They should be prosecuted. We now know, as we're sitting here, that the FBI had the doggone laptop. They knew everything in it was true. when they were pressuring Mark Zuckerberg and they were censoring this stuff, the FBI had the laptop and knew it was true. So these intelligence agency, notice what I'm saying, intelligence agency officials, they either know or they should know that the laptop was true. But no, they intentionally, you want to talk about election interference. And let's just be even more clear. The Biden campaign staffer who asked him to sign the letter literally said, we need to do so because there's a story coming out on this and we need to get ahead of it. These guys need to be prosecuted, guys. It's not enough for, okay, their clearances were revoked. Good. Now what's next? Because this is my concern. If we do not prosecute these people, if we do not expose every single person who knew the United States government was not being run by Weekend at Bernie's Joe Biden, you have stories coming out now, and I may get to this later in the week, that are questioning whether or not the signatures on things during the Biden administration were actually his real signatures. If we don't have accountability held here, my concern is not only that it would be repeated, that it would embolden people who do these shenanigans. Because what they'll say is, oh, well, as long as we can fade the heat temporarily from a media standpoint, well, we know nothing is going to happen. And I would remind you, and I'm just, this is the truth. The facts were evident that she who shall never be president literally destroyed. Physical iPads and smart devices and computers used BleachBit, but then said, well, now we're not going to prosecute her. My concern is if these things, these people are not held accountable, not only will it be repeated, that these folks will be emboldened because they will realize, oh, we can get anything over on the American people. As long as we get the media to spin it in the right way and we, you know, get it. Let's just make sure it's just discussed in terms of partisan politics. That's to make sure. This should be a bipartisan effort for the pursuit of accountability. These people should be prosecuted criminally, if possible. And if not possible to be prosecuted criminally, they need to be pursued civilly. Accountability must be pursued. There's a clear understanding within the legal system that you have the application of justice not only for corrective purposes, but for punitive purposes to communicate to the society. Should anybody consider doing this again, this is what awaits you. Should any of you think about going down this path, this is what awaits you. This prosecution is for a deterring effect. And it's not enough for their clearances to be revoked. These people willfully were accomplices in pulling a ruse on the American people. Willfully a part of it. I can't even begin to consider all of the things had this been exposed at the time that could have been avoided. One of the most immediate things that comes to my mind, Putin sure didn't invade Russia. Just certainly didn't invade Ukraine when Trump was in. I mean, there must be accountability. There must be accountability. And if not, you will embolden evil people like this. Like I remind you, remember Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? They're not ashamed of what they did because they got a payout through a settlement from the Department of Justice. So you think they were exposed? Oh, no. They're like, we won ultimately. We got to retire and we got a payout for the Department of Justice.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.